What is going on with y'all, man? It is Black Balloon, and I'm coming back with another video, man, so y'all already know what's going on, alright? Now, y'all remember in the last video, I mentioned that we were going to do a video about CERN. Now, of course, on the channel, we've talked about CERN a lot. I think I have two videos where we go into CERN and what they were trying to uncover. You know, the spiritual world that they are trying to penetrate, so to speak. And I think in those videos, I had Pastor Darby and I think Charles Lawson, Pastor Charles Lawson, if that's his name, if I'm not mistaken on that, right? And they did sermons where, you know, they described it pretty much perfect. And even myself, I'm going to take a quote from one of those clips as well, where I think Charles Lawson described it when we talk about matter versus antimatter, right? Now, I also, before we really get into anything, we're going to listen to this clip from the Sean Ryan podcast, right? So the guy that was on there being interviewed, he talked about Bob Lazar, and then it went into CERN, and it went into the Hadron Collider that is going to be the world's biggest that China is going to start to create in 2027. So we're going to get into that more as well. We're also going to connect it back to Stranger Things. And I have an article where it's just very simply put. Now, this comes from CERN website itself. It's straight from their website. And it basically just talks about the Big Bang and what matter and antimatter means and how they annihilate each other when they are in contact with each other. So before we get into that, I just want y'all to listen to the clip first. So y'all know, like I said, we've done videos on CERN before. And in this video, I just want to take it a little bit deeper because the guy also talks about China and what they are potentially going to do with their Hadron Collider, or the goals that they have for their Hadron Collider, which could be possibly using antimatter as weapons. And I just thought it was very interesting to circle back around the topic because it's being picked up again as far as China about to start building their own, which will be the biggest Hadron Collider in the world, even bigger than the one in Geneva, Switzerland, that we know as CERN, right? And by the way, we just talked about CERN as well, because we all know WWW, aka the internet or the ARPANET program that was basically started at CERN. So, you know, CERN comes up in a lot of this stuff, and this is by far the most important, right? So before we get into all of the good stuff, because I want to break it down as simple as I can, because you already know we're not physicists here, we're not scientists, but I think I got a pretty good gist of what they're trying to do. And, you know, if this stuff sounds like mumbo jumbo, I'm going to break it down to you to where it's pretty easy to understand it, right? So with that being said, y'all, we'll first go ahead and get into this clip. I think it's about 8 minutes long. So y'all, check this out.
What do you think? Are they coming from space and under? I mean, I don't know. I don't know, man. I think I've interviewed a lot of people about this stuff. I've come to the conclusion I think it's all spiritual.
I'm entirely persuaded that that there is an extraterrestrial component to this, and I'll tell you why. You're probably familiar with the testimony of Bob Lazar.
Yeah.
You know, Bob Lazar worked at the Nevada facility, the S4 facility, by Groom Lake, and was involved in the reverse engineering program. He worked on a particular saucer that he denominates the sports model because it was sleek and it was functional. And his job in the program specifically was to work on the reactor. And according to Lazar, the reactor was a matter antimatter reactor. And it, in order to function, it required a piece of exotic matter that was machined into a triangle. And that exotic matter is called, was called by Lazar, element 115. And Lazar talked about this back in the early 90s. And element 115, I mean, nobody knew what the heck he was talking about, but today we actually have identified it's called moscavium. And we can synthesize it. The Russians have been able to synthesize it, but we don't have a stable isotope. The only isotopes that we know of on Earth are not stable. But this craft, according to Lazar, the reactor of this saucer that he was working on, it used a stable form of element 115. And this exotic matter was essential to the operation of the craft, to the reactor. And again, it was a matter-antimatter reaction. And of course, one of the largest explosions that we know of is the annihilation of matter and antimatter. Matter and antimatter annihilate each other. We know antimatter is real. We can actually...
What is antimatter?
I'm not a physicist, but antimatter is like the opposite of matter. And matter...
So it's
and
nothing.
It's not nothing. I'm not qualified to answer the question, what is antimatter? I know it exists, and I know that we can create antimatter at CERN. We have created antimatter at CERN, but you know, it only exists for fractions of a second. And by the way, you know, antimatter, that collision between matter and antimatter, that annihilation, that could be turned into a weapon. You can weaponize that if you can stabilize it, and that you can build antimatter bombs. Well, you know, I mentioned that CERN, the largest man-made machine on planet Earth, is a Large Hadron Collider in Geneva, in the CERN. And the Chinese are building one 10 times the size of that.
No, I didn't know that.
At least they were. They definitely were. I would assume that the project is still underway. And again, the CERN is the largest man-made machine on Earth. Chinese are building one 10 times larger. The objective of CERN, ostensibly, is they want to find out what happened at the Big Bang, right? That's I went to CERN and talked to the physicists there, the particle physicists, and they genuinely want to know what happened at the Big Bang. They want to know how the universe came to be and all of that. The idea is to look back in time, but I don't think that's why the Chinese are building an atom smasher that's 10 times the size of CERN. I think what they're after is antimatter weapons, an antimatter bomb. I mean, you know, you have antimatter bombs are many times more powerful than you know, thermonuclear bomb warhead, and they don't have that. The problem with nuclear weapons is the fallout. You radiate everything, right? So if you drop a bomb on a city, nuclear bomb. Well, you have rendered that city, that area, unusable. Mm-hmm. You've radiated it. The soil is going to be ruined. Look at Fukushima, right? You turn it into Fukushima. So if you're like the Chinese and you're interested in occupying, let's say, the breadbasket of America because you need more food, you don't want to nuke it because you destroy the soil. You radiate it, mm-hmm. and you render it useless. But an antimatter bomb—that's another situation. You could create an explosion that is bigger, more powerful, more intense than a nuclear explosion, without without the radiation, without nuking that area, so you could bomb it and then make use of it afterwards. So that's a little rabbit trail there, but I think that's why the Chinese are interested in building a collider. Precisely because of the matter-antimatter annihilation. It is exceedingly powerful. So going back to the reactor, this, of course, comes from the testimony of Bob Lazar, that there's a matter-antimatter reaction happening inside of the reactor, and it's generating an enormous amount of energy, the kind of energy that's required to generate and to control gravity waves. And that's how Lazar says that those craft work. They produce gravity waves, and that's all featured in the testimony of Bob Lazar. He wrote a really good book called Dreamland where he describes all of this. I personally believe that Bob Lazar is telling the truth.
All right, y'all. Very interesting, right? Very, very interesting. I want you to take a few notes of what he said. He said basically CERN is trying to look back in time. Looking back in time, right? To see what happened at the Big Bang. To see what created our universe. They believe in the Big Bang. They don't believe that this universe was created by the Almighty God, right? So, just to get a little bit more understanding, says the Big Bang should have created equal amounts of matter and antimatter in the early universe. But today, everything we see from the smallest life forms on Earth to the largest stellar objects is made almost entirely of matter. Comparatively, there's not much antimatter to be found. Remember, he said they have to create antimatter. It only exists for a fraction of a second. It's very unstable, right? We're going to tie that back into a couple of things. That something must have happened to tip the balance. One of the greatest challenges in physics is to figure out what happened to the antimatter, or why we see an asymmetry between matter and antimatter. Antimatter particles share the same mass as their matter counterparts, but qualities such as electric charge are opposite. The positively charged positron, for example, is the antiparticle to the negatively charged electron. Matter and antimatter particles are always produced as a pair, and if they come into contact, they annihilate one another, leaving behind pure energy. During the first fractions of a second of the Big Bang, the hot and dense universe was buzzing with particle-antiparticle pairs popping in and out of existence. If matter and antimatter are created and destroyed together, it seems the universe should contain nothing but leftover energy. Nevertheless, a tiny portion of matter, about one particle per billion, managed to survive. This is what we see today. In the past few decades, particle physicists' experiments have shown that the laws of nature do not apply equally to matter and antimatter. Physicists are keen to discover the reasons why. Researchers have observed spontaneous transformations between particles and their antiparticles occurring millions of times per second before the decay. Some unknown entity intervening in this process in the early universe could have caused these oscillating particles to decay as matter more often than they decayed as antimatter. Notice that it says some unknown entity. They're not giving creation the nod to God. They're not giving God, you know, the coins, basically, right? No pun intended. So it says, consider a coin spinning on a table. It can land on its head or tails, but it cannot be defined as heads or tails until it stops spinning and falls to one side. A coin has a 50-50 chance of landing on its head or its tail. So if enough coins are spun in exactly the same way, half should land on heads and the other half on tails. In the same way, half of the oscillating particles in the early universe should have decayed as matter and the other half as antimatter. So they're basically trying to explain to you why they can't figure out why the universe isn't equally created of matter and antimatter. As you already know, matter is basically everything we can see. I'm going to try to put this very simple. Right? Matter is everything that we can see. Everything this universe is made up of, right? Now, if you notice in the clip, Sean was like, "So basically, antimatter is nothing." That's what he said. To the average person, if you hear someone be like, "All right, the world is made up of matter. You know, everything out here, buildings, everything, the universe, everything we can see is made up of matter." And when someone says antimatter, you know, not thinking on a scientific level or having a physicist explain this, you're going to be like, "Okay, cool. So antimatter is nothing." It's basically nothing, right? It's the opposite. And in a sense, he's kind of right. But of course, it's not nothing. But in a sense, he's kind of correct. Because this is what it makes me think about. And it makes me go back to it was either Charles Lawson or Pastor Darby that explained it. Really good example, right? He was like, imagine building a house. And when you get to the building blocks of that house, you find out that your house is not actually made and built out of nails. It's built out of glue. CERN is trying to find out what makes up that glue that is making your house stick together. So it's the same with the universe. They want to know what makes up antimatter. Basically, why is there a spirit world? They know what they're trying to go to. They know what they're trying to figure out, right? And all it can make me think about is the beginning. Genesis, right? Now, it's pretty simple. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. This is the most important. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. But we have to go back. We have to go back. The earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. Now, when God said, "Let there be light," let there be a vault between the waters to separate water from water. Basically, this is what I see matter and antimatter to be. This is where this separation happened between the physical and the spiritual world, right? I see matter being formed when God said, "Let there be light." God said, "Let the land produce vegetation." God separate the waters from the water. And he separated light from darkness, right? Now, when the world or the earth was formless and empty, I imagine that darkness to be the ultimate darkness, not like the darkness that is nighttime with a moon in the sky. You know, I imagine that darkness to be so dark it cannot be penetrated, right? In my mind, I would call that the spiritual world, the side that, you know, the veil, the part that we can't see, right? This is how I take it. I'm not saying it's true, not saying it's really correct, right? My cat is in my lap, making this difficult. All right, you gotta get down. That is what I think of it to be, right? When God separated the light and the darkness, when he put a veil between the physical and the spiritual world, that veil is what consists of antimatter. Antimatter is what makes up the things that we cannot see. I think it's pretty simple. Antimatter is what is the building blocks of the spiritual world. That is why it only exists for fractions of a second when they try to penetrate the spiritual world. Now, you know what it makes me think about? It makes me think about Stranger Things and CERN. We have to tie this together to, you know, like modern things that are going on, the shows where they try to put this information into without really telling us, right? So, y'all remember in some of the scenes in Stranger Things when Eleven was trying to close the portal that the Hadron Collider was creating. It was very hard for her to close those portals. She had to use like all of her power. Or even the opposite, when the Hadron Collider was trying to create the portal to the upside down, which I think antimatter is what makes up the existence of the upside down. It's literally the upside down in Stranger Things is the spirit world, y'all. It's what we can't see. It's matter and antimatter. It's the opposite. That's why in certain scenes when they were in the regular world, you know, they were on, it seemed like they were on top of the upside down. It was basically flipped. It was the opposite, right? When the Hadron Collider was trying to create the portal, it was very hard for them to pierce through that veil. Remember, they were like shooting the little, you know, we'll call it a little laser beam, right? They were shooting it at the wall and it was barely penetrating it. And when it would, the portal seam would close immediately. So you can almost think of that as antimatter only existing for fractions of a second, right? Because it annihilates when it meets with regular matter, meaning our world, meaning the world that we observe with our two eyes. The reason I'm gonna flat out say, you know, and this is just my understanding, the reason antimatter and matter annihilate is because they're not meant to exist together. Obviously, God separated the veil. He separated the spiritual world from the physical world for a reason. So what makes up matter, what the building blocks of matter, the building blocks of antimatter, they're not meant to exist together because of what they represent. One of them represents darkness. One of them represents light. What we physically observe, our world. This is the way that I see it, right? And I think it's pretty simple to understand. Why? Because we know what CERN is trying to do. We already have multiple accounts. Number one, CERN's logo is 666. Y'all see this on the screen. That's why I've just been hovering over it, letting it sit on the screen. We already know what they're trying to do. They're trying to invite demonic spirits into this world. They're trying to, you know, basically just invite demons, y'all. It's simple. They've went on account and said this multiple times without trying to say it. This is technology that is being pushed by the people who created it, by the devil and his minions, in order to bring more darkness into this world. That is what's, I mean, why else would you want to look back in time to find out what created the universe? Why would you want to know why there's only a small amount of antimatter, which is basically the spiritual world? Why would you want to tap into it and know what created it? Why would you want to make it stable so you can use it to basically create your own universe without God? Essentially, that's what they're trying to do. We're humans. We get, you know, this is what we try to do, basically. You know, we're just stuck on power and advancement with this whole AI thing. Now we've gotten to the point where we want to create our own world without God. We want to know how God created this world. And what this tech and what this knowledge has done is it's brought a lot of non-believers, a lot of physicists have came on record to say they fully believe in God because they know, because of this kind of research and the fact that they can't figure it out, it means that it was created by something divine. Remember in this article, remember, they can acknowledge that some unknown entity intervening in this process could have caused the particles to decay as matter more often than antimatter. So they said an unknown entity, y'all. So they're on the foot of giving the credit to God, but they don't want to say, yeah, this was God that created this stuff that we can't figure out. It's insane that humans feel like we're smarter than God and we can figure out his creation in order to, you know, I don't know. invite the most giant demon disembodied spirit into this world as if we don't already have enough of them. Basically, if you want to know what, you know, created the building blocks of the spirit world, essentially you want us to see it, you know? I think that's mostly the goal because, I mean, demons already roam this earth. We can't see it. The disembodied spirits of the Nephilim already roam this earth. We can't see them. So, essentially, you know, if you were able to break that veil, if you were able to break that spiritual plane, we could see them then, right? You know? I guess that's what they want to do. I don't know. I don't know because, like, at the end of the day, what's the point? What's the point of trying to figure out what darkness is made of? You know, that ultimate darkness that I believe what is what covered this earth before God divided the light and the darkness, you know? And that in my simple way of understanding it, when he divided light and darkness, he divided matter and antimatter. What he used to construct things that we cannot see is what they term antimatter. All right. So to not keep, you know, beating that bush or whatever, we'll get into what he talked about with China, right? So it says China has plans for the world's largest particle collider. Now, he wasn't quite sure if China was still continuing on building this collider, but they actually are. So it says China hopes to build a U.S. $5 billion particle smasher within 3 years, beating Europe's proposed mega collider to the punch. It would aim to measure the Higgs boson, a mysterious particle that gives everything mass in exquisite detail. Such information could answer fundamental questions about how the universe evolved and why particles interact the way that they do. The Chinese government have a 5-year plan, and if it can win the entire Chinese government support, construction would begin in 2027. This would take about a decade, and they have plans on doing this. So the report estimates that the supersized collider would cost 36.4 billion won, which is 5.2 billion in the US, and it is considerably cheaper than CERN's Hadron Collider. And basically, they will build it faster. If I'm not mistaken, I think one in Europe is being built as well in the 2030s. If that one gets any kind of government support, I think they're actually trying to build another one that is outside of CERN. And there are multiple Hadron Colliders around the world, but we're talking about, you know, the ones that are actually ginormous, you know. And like they said, he believes that China is trying to create it in order to produce weapons, antimatter weapons, right? And I thought that was very interesting. And when I heard that, that is kind of what made me want to jump back into this topic. And y'all remember even back, you know, in 2022 when CERN, I think, restarted the Hadron Collider and Stranger Things dropped their last season. It was all over the internet that, you know, CERN is trying to open demonic portals. They're trying to open portals to the upside down, to the spirit world, so on and so on. So, you know, it's not something that is just like made up for conspiracies. You know, everybody has some kind of understanding that this stuff is real. You know, it's nothing, you know, it's nothing that you shouldn't take serious because it's real. And even people who have, you know, worked on this stuff and have way more knowledge about it than we do, they've admitted it. You know, they have admitted this stuff to be true, y'all. So yeah, man, I think that'll go ahead and wrap up the video on CERN. Hopefully, you know, I explained it, broke it down in a way that we can understand. Like I said, I'm no physicist, you know, and I may not have the complete understanding of it, but when we're talking about the spiritual aspect of it, you know, what antimatter represents, when you think about it, it makes sense as far as antimatter, just simply put, being darkness, matter being the light, the world that we observe. We all know that we don't observe the spiritual world. We can't see it. It doesn't exist basically to our two eyes. You know, we're not in that realm. And when I hear them say that antimatter and matter together annihilates one another to form a giant ball of energy, and that antimatter is, you know, it only lasts for a fraction of a second, it makes me think about portals that only last for a fraction of a second into another world. It also makes me think about antimatter being like a ball of fire that you don't have to light. You know, do you think about something being unstable? That would be very unstable. A ball of fire that just exists. You don't have to light it. You can't put it out. You know, it just exists. And matter is something that you would have to light on fire. You know, you'd have to light it up. Antimatter is just already lit up. It's already a giant ball of fire, you know? That's my understanding of it. So y'all let me know what y'all think about this in the comments, man. Very interesting topic. I think a topic like this will last for a lifetime because they're still going. If China is about to attempt to build the giant Hadron Collider that is 5 times bigger than CERN, come on, y'all. This is gonna last a lifetime, all right? So with that being said, man, y'all let me know what y'all think about this one. It's Black Balloon, and I'm gonna see y'all soon, all right? I'm out.